everyone. Welcome to Soapy. I'm Rebecca Buttig.
And I'm Greg Rickhart.
And today, our guest, she's an incredible person. I worked with her on All My Children. She played Annie Lavery.
And I worked with her on The Young and the Restless, where she plays Chelsea Lawson.
Yeah. She's always got a funny quip. She really should be doing comedies.
Also, this interview is going to be like 3 minutes long because I don't know anyone that talks as fast as Missy. Melissa Claire Egan is our guest today.
Melissa Claire Egan, yes. That's true. She does talk very fast.
Did you get to work with her much on
All
My Children?
Oh, of course, yes. I worked with her on All My Children. And I love her.
Yeah, me too. She's in my inner circle. In fact, Missy Elizabeth Hendrickson and I have a text thread that is always popping. And fun story, we'll talk about this with her when she gets here, but her younger son, Jake, had Monty's old crib.
Yeah, I know. I think he's out of the crib probably at this point. But anyway, also, Melissa is sharing with us a recent health scare that she had, and we're very excited to talk to her about that. She's brave enough to share us. I just learned how to talk.
Brave
share that story with us.
Enough to share with us the details of this journey that she's on. And she's incredible, and it's going to be a great interview, and we'll be right back with Melissa Claire Egan.
Show Melissa Claire Egan.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
We're so happy to see you.
I mean, it's like I was kind of like waiting. Like, word on the street, you know, you guys are so good and this has become so popular.
Go on.
That the word on the street in the daytime community is like, why haven't I been asked to do Soapy? I'm like, what, do I have to like release a sex tape to get asked to be on this podcast?
Yeah, I know.
What is it going
to
take?
You have a heart problem to get on. I'm kidding.
There you go.
Wow.
Too soon.
Actually, this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a great time with you because we both adore you. We both have long histories with you.
I know.
So let's get the heart thing out of the way first.
Let's get the heart thing out of the way.
Talk about the serious stuff and then have some fun.
For sure. It's important.
It's not really why we're having you here, by the way.
No, it's fine.
Happens that you actually announced it. We already had you booked, but...
Yeah. Yes. No, anyway. This is important. And this is like really important
tell us
basically, this is vodka, right?
Yeah.
So...
Tequila.
Right. It's very important. And I definitely feel like I'm on like a mission now. I'll try to make this story as short as possible.
Don't. We have
long
time.
Long story. We do. We've got time. It's just a couple of gals.
Come on. We have time.
So I have heart disease. I was diagnosed about a month ago. I'm going to be okay. I truly did not know anything about this up until a month ago. And now I like consider myself a cardiologist. basically, without the brains or the training or the experience. But basically, I have an incredible OB, Dr. Aliabadi, and she did some basic blood work. And these two specific things, lipoprotein A and ApoB, were high. She said that sometimes that can be a marker of like a heart issue. So she wanted me to see a cardiologist. I was literally like, yeah. Like, I didn't even like book it for months because I was like, I'm a 44-year-old woman, like heart disease, like heart stuff. I didn't even know. So thank God I finally went to the cardiologist, who was wonderful. He did an EKG, all these things. Everything was fine. And he's like, but the thing is, if there's plaque or calcium buildup in an artery, you cannot see that on anything except a heart calcium scan, which is very important. He explained to me that if calcium or if the plaque breaks off, that's when you suffer a stroke or a heart attack. If it breaks off in this artery, you have a heart attack. If it breaks off in this artery, you have a stroke. Sure. So I went and got the test thinking like, okay, but like I'm fine. And sure enough, there was plaque in my LAD artery, which is known as the Widowmaker. It's mild, thank God. It can be treated with medicine, but my cardiologist was like, if you had not found this in 5 years, 10 years, you very easily could have had a stroke or heart attack.
What was that test like?
Easy breezy. The test is a breeze. You lay in a tube for 3 minutes. The frustrating part, and I'm working a lot with American Heart Association now. Visit heart.org, by the way. A lot of information is on there. And the frustrating thing is it's not covered by insurance. It was $280 at Cedars, but it's worth it because it is the only scan that can see the calcium and the plaque.
Can your doctor order that test for you and then have it covered by insurance?
No, as of now, it's not. Okay. Almost never is it covered by insurance, but it would have to be ordered by a doctor. So even if you call your general practitioner, even if you do see a cardiologist, that, in my opinion, and again, I'm not a doctor, even though I kind of pretend I am, because I chat GPT a lot now. Chat GPT has become like my therapist, my cardiologist, my vet, my pediatrician.
My doctor always says, do not Google.
I know. Google. So I want to be clear, I'm not a doctor, but from my experience, I just think you have to talk to your doctor about getting this calcium test, because it's the only thing that sees the plaque. And he was just like, you're going to be okay. He's like, it's very smart that you came to see me. And he goes, who sent you to me again? And I was like, oh, my OB, Alibadi. He's like, after this Zoom, call her and say thank you for saving my life. And I was like, oh, okay. It was just shocking. And then eventually the shock turned to gratitude. And I was like, thank God, you know? And now I just feel like I'm on this mission to like tell people, like, you know, we get mammograms, especially as women, it's so underdiagnosed. This cardiologist told me, you know, of all the women's deaths last year, 6% was from breast cancer, which is horrific and heartbreaking. He said 27% was from heart disease. So many people are dying, and it's preventable. So I just want everyone to get their hearts checked out.
Do you mind me asking, what is your now course of action? Like, what do you do for it?
I'm on two medications. I'm on a statin, once a pill, and a shot every 2 weeks. This shot called Repatha. But I did IVF, so I'm like, for shots, don't bother me.
Is that forever?
Ish, as of now, we think, because, you know. But I'm still going to get an, it doesn't, I guess, again, I'm still learning because this is just a month in. It doesn't take away the plaque, but it will stop it from growing more and stop it from breaking off. So I really think I'll be okay. It's just, and it's very much so genetic. So I tell everybody, like, ask your family. Mm-hmm. Ask family members if they had it or have it, because a lot of it is genetics. But it's not only genetics. So,
Consult your doctor. Have that test. I had a somewhat sudden spike in my LDL, my low density cholesterol, a few years back. And my doctor suggested I get the calcium test.
Great.
And I had it. And he said, okay, it's something you should continue to have every few years. So consult with your doctor again and again and stay on top of it. And great. I'm so glad that you are speaking about it.
Thanks, baby.
So it sounds like you found out both that you were going to be fine and that you needed to thank your doctor for saving your life all in the same meeting, right?
Yes.
So like coming down off of that meeting, what has gone through your mind and where has this journey taken you so far?
Yeah, I think... truly, initially, I was just, I was obviously very in shock, but he said, he's like, if you're on medication, you'll be okay. So I definitely felt calm from that. Even my husband said the next day, he's like, how are you so calm? And I was like, because I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And then I just felt, like I said, the shock turned to gratitude. I laid with my son that night, putting him to bed, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, thank you, God, that I have these doctors that found this. I never would have seen a cardiologist at 44. You know, we do so many other things, but it wasn't even on my radar. Yeah. And then I just thought, people need to know about this. Like, I've been given this gift. And now I need to share what happened to me so that people know, because I feel, you know, lucky to have found it. And now I just need to like spread the word so more people will get checked.
When you say it's genetic, who in your family?
Well, I don't want to get into that because it's like their private, medical stuff.
That's true. I'm just curious.
But it is a family member. Yeah. I'll tell you. I mean, I don't think they'd care, but it's my story.
But it runs in my family too. So I'm just
Definitely get the scan, you know? And I'm on a mission now. I'm like, now I want to get it covered by insurance.
It should be covered by insurance.
It should be. It really should be. So it's been an eye-opening month.
Are we going to see you in Congress? Like, justifying, like, we need to this.
Maybe. I want like YNR to do a story on it, you know?
Well, you know what? Maybe. It is like, that's a really good segue because it's often you have something happen in your personal life that inevitably ends up as something that is happening with your character. My character now on Days of Our Lives has a podcast.
Nuh-uh. You know? For real?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, that's fabulous.
But he does it by himself, which is why he's just sort of taken over.
I insisted. Like, you know, you learn from your mistakes. And I insisted if I'm going to have a podcast, I will not have a co-host.
What or who doesn't.
Okay, good. I'm glad we talked about that.
Yes,
now,
thank you for asking. And go get your hearts checked. Ask your doctor.
Consult your doctors.
Consult your doctor and ask about the risk assessment.
It's
all good. Yeah. So thank you for asking.
Now, let's go
You're
back
like,
to...
I thought you never had a heart. I thought it was...
No.
Just kidding.
No. We know how big
That's
it
really
is.
Shy.
Oh, that was for her. We have a traveling crib that went from Monty to Josephina to Jake. It was Jake. Kaden, right? It was Jake.
It was Jake, yes.
And now it has moved on again. So My son's crib became Elizabeth's daughter's crib, which then became your son's crib, and now is having its fourth life.
No, he's still, that crib, he still has. Okay. Because my two-year-old's still in the crib. And I'm excited. I have to figure out like who to give it to next, because he'll be out of there within a year or so. So I know it's really exciting.
I love it.
You should come put it together with us wherever it ends up.
Oh my gosh, you've been through so much. I want to get to the soaps, but you also lost a house in the Palisades fire last year.
It's been like a year, you guys.
That is a lot.
It's been a little stressful. I like light up a cigarette in the middle of the podcast.
We do need some more vodka.
Can we really just smoke in here? Well, just kidding. Don't smoke. Cause heart disease.
2025. Oh yeah, heart disease. Oh my God.
That was a joke.
Alcohol,
the smoking and the sex tape were jokes, okay?
The sex tape too was?
Just kidding. Just kidding. Yes. So, sorry, I'm like such a Debbie Downer. These are usually fun podcasts.
It's going to be
fun.
We'll
get
to
the light stuff. The long story short, in that case too, yes, we, on December 20th of last year, we bought a house in the Pacific Palisades. And 18 days later, it burned down. From what I've heard, we were the last people to buy a house in the Palisades. But glass half full, we hadn't moved in yet. The current owners were doing a 60-day lease back, thank God. So they were still in the house. I mean, I'm sad for them because they lost their stuff, but it's our house. It was our mortgage. And it burned down. But we didn't lose our stuff. And we hadn't moved out of our current house because it was going to be months. So we hadn't sold our current house. So we weren't displaced like so many people were. So many people lost. It was so personal for so many people. And that breaks my heart for them. It wasn't, you know, we didn't lose our stuff.
Yeah.
We just lost all our money. So it's like, I mean, not all. That's a joke too. But most, all. So... I mean, I think the crew's going to start smoking soon.
Do you want to side hustle as my new co-host?
Anyway, this has been so fun.
Oh my God. Okay.
I start doing the podcast like in the therapist's office. Sorry. Oh no. I'm knocking down the furniture. Sorry, guys.
Oh my God.
It's fine. Honestly, listen. And this is going to sound like a really Miss America comment. The truth, the God's honest truth is like, it's as long as everyone's healthy, really is the truth. There's so much tragedy in the world right now. That is like fine. My kids are okay. Yeah. As long as my kids are healthy, it was stressful. It's a thing, but it's like, it could have been worse.
Yes.
And that's the God's honest truth. We didn't lose all of our things. Which a lot of people did, and people have way more to deal with in life. So it's fine.
This is what I love about you, and I love that people are seeing this. You have such a great sense of humor. Aww. I mean, you got to have a sense of humor when things are rough, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have that, and in spades, in spades. You're like a light on a set.
Aww,
for real.
I love you.
You
that's
are so funny.
Kind. Thanks, babe.
Let's start at the beginning.
Yeah.
I want to...
Fox Lane High School.
How about that? I know.
Did my homework.
Look at you.
Oh, God. He loves to show off. Well, we actually had Carla Moseley on here, and the two of you went to high school together, yes?
Middle school.
Middle school.
I've known Carla since we were 10. We did Annie together.
Carla Moseley, who was Beyond the Gates, and she was
incredible.
On the show.
Yes. I've known her since sixth grade. We did Annie together. We're orphans together in Annie. We did Grease together. She was Sandy. I was Rizzo. Like, we were both the narrators together, and Joseph, the Amazing Technicolor, the Dream Coach, she's the best. So yes, I've known her. We did middle school and high school together.
And you still keep in touch.
And we still keep in touch. She's fantastic. We sang last year at a charity event together at the Troubadour. She's so great.
That's so
I love
amazing.
Her. Yeah, it's crazy. There's
so
a lot of
were you, when you were in middle school and high school and performing, were you like, this is the lane, or was that a hobby back then?
It was,
you were working professionally.
She was born to do this.
I know.
She came out of the womb like this.
You were professionally procuring work as like a preteen.
Yes. So I grew up in Westchester and you guys know that.
Fox Lane,
Fox Lane, an hour north of the city. Uh-huh. And so I did a lot of like plays and dancing and singing growing up, but I like begged my parents to let me do it professionally. And my mom was a flight attendant. My dad worked for the phone company. I had, you know, two other brothers, and they were like, yeah. I'm like, no, we're not getting you involved in this crazy business. But I nagged. And finally, when I was 10, they let me, I got like a manager, and they sent me on an audition for this thing called Surprise Shampoo. And there was like a million people there, a million kids. And I had to wait so long for my audition, and I got it. And it was like the first thing the manager sent me on. So I think my parents were like, maybe you should do this.
Oh, no.
And they're like, oh, damn it. And my dad like worked in Brooklyn. So it's like for him to go to work and come back and then have to take me. It was just a disaster. But my mom drove me in most of the time. She's going to be pissed if she's like, Dad, he gets all the credit. I drove you into the city. So they both... I think when I got that, they were like, well, maybe there is something to this. So I did it as a kid, but then I also would like book out for months at a time to do the school play and do sports. And so it was, I did it, but I wouldn't say it was like a kid actor. It was like a hobby. It was like another hobby, just yeah. like sports or anything else was. So it was fun. And it was good to get used to like auditioning at that age and rejection at that age. Like you just like, no, I was like 10 when I started. And then, but I took a lot of time off in high school because I wanted to do the school plays and stuff. So.
And then you went away to college.
Yeah. I went to UNC Chapel mm-hmm. Hill.
Of Go course Heels. You did. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I was a drama major there. Like best 4 years, a great yeah. program and yeah, yeah. great memories. And then, and then I came to LA in summer 2003 and, worked at the Daily Grill and worked at Liberty 4 and 3 years later got all my children.
Did you know when you were in college like LA was the end game or did you think about going back to New York?
I didn't think I could afford to live in New York, which I couldn't. You know, I guess now looking back I could have lived somewhere, but I couldn't like you couldn't live in the city if you yeah. weren't working, you yeah. know? And at that time in 2003 it was more like that was theater stuff, which I love theater, but I was looking to do more TV stuff and that was in LA then, which sadly it's like not in LA right now, but
it's everywhere else.
but I felt like LA was yeah. And then funny, I actually really owe like all my children to Rebecca because Greenlee leaving oh. meant they needed like a love interest for Ryan. So I really owe it to her. I owe her so many things actually. She also found me my nanny.
That's
so
right.
I literally owe Rebecca for like my whole life.
And I did give you a crib, but go ahead. Keep giving her all of this.
You know what? Oh, I love that. What?
So thank you. So yeah, they needed a love interest for Ryan.
Yeah, I know. I know. So I didn't work with Melissa like because no. she was there before I came back.
Yes.
After I left.
But then we got to work together. But yeah. Yes. So then I started, yeah.
Crazy Annie.
I tried to like kill you so many times in the show.
So back to New York by yes. way of Los Angeles.
Yep.
And then what did you choose to leave to come back to LA?
From all my children?
Yeah.
Well, the show moved.
Here. Oh, that's
yeah.
right.
Which was and wild. You were on the show when it I moved. Was on the show when it moved. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crazy.
And you got to do crazy stuff on that show.
Yeah. That was
well,
the
at
best.
First your character was not
no.
off the rails.
No, not at all. And then by the grace of God, they wrote me, they just like probably like a year in, they just decided to make her off the rails. A lot of it was, you know, her brother came, Billy Miller, really? The wonderful Billy Miller came and triggered something in her and then she killed him. And then it just triggered all these things and then she became Crazy Annie and I, you know, stabbed Susan Lucci. I tried to kill Greenlee like 4 times. just all sorts of stuff. That was so fun. Yeah.
Oh my God, it was so fun.
It was fun. And it kind of invigorated the character.
How did she try and kill you?
I tried
well,
to
there was months. There was someone that came and she was Greenlee for like what? I don't know.
Oh yeah,
6 months,
Sabine
a
for
year?
A couple. Yeah, a year or two. A year maybe?
Oh, it was her that you tried to kill, Rebecca?
No. No, it was only Rebecca. Oh.
Was it me?
Yeah. It was
I
you.
I thought it was Sabine.
No, I tried to kill you as you.
The mind is the mind is the first thing to go, they say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me, do you remember? Because I don't.
I do. I remember once you were like, remember your character was like watching TV and I was like hiding behind you, like gonna shoot you? And then, like, I don't remember, but I was always like very. Annie was always
she
jealous.
She was always
of
trying to kill me. She was jealous because I was. We were. She wanted to be with Ryan, and yeah. I was with Ryan. So
Ryan
I do
was in love with
that.
Her.
I do remember
and
that.
And wasn't in
I
love with me.
Remember.
And then he got like forgot. He had amnesia and remembered everyone in the world but me.
Oh yes, I do remember that.
And then I was just jealous of her and I tried to like kill her over and over. So I'm sorry about that, but it was fun. Remember we'd always be in Fusion, like fighting.
I do remember Fusion and fighting all the time. Yeah,
that was a great character. Yes, I was so grateful. Yes. And I always felt like you always were worried you're going to get killed off on these shows, especially early on.
Yeah.
And I was always scared. And then once like in the beginning, I wasn't sure that first year. And then when they made, you know, her Crazy Annie, it just solidified, like it was like a more popular version of her and people liked it. So I was so like grateful.
And you got to work
that.
With the amazing David Canary.
Yes.
I mean, did you have to do love scenes with him?
I didn't, we didn't have love scenes, but we got married twice. He, that was actually probably my favorite story I've ever had on All My Children. I was there for 4.5 years and I remember them saying, and I watched the show growing up. So I knew him as Stuart and Adam and he's just so incredible. Oh. And I remember them telling me that they were gonna like put us together romantically. And I was 28, he was 73. So I was like, huh. He's so incredible. And then was the best, my favorite storyline. It was so great. And they made it that I was kind of his trophy wife and I'd like, for some reason, my character was on house arrest, and I'd walk around in like a bathing suit with like a thing, like a house arrest.
Well, yeah,
thing.
You tried to kill her.
And that's he, yeah, maybe that's why I was, had the thing.
No, I don't think she was Crazy Annie yet.
I kind of, I think I was. I think I was. Yeah, I had already been Crazy Annie, and I'd been in the mental institution and got out. And he was just so good, and he made everyone so much better. And I got to have two weddings with him, and I was obsessed with him. He was so great to work with, and I'm so glad they like paired us, which wouldn't have seemed like a match, like 45 year age difference, but it kind of worked. And,
it really did work.
And I'm like, I was just crazy about him.
Oh my God, I used to go up to set early to watch him.
Mm.
And I remember when he played Stuart, his sort of like childlike twin. I just remember watching him. The scene hadn't even started, and he was like doing things and like, and I was just like, oh my God, he's so amazing. It's
like a masterclass.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Lucky you.
Lucky me.
All My Children Ends.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
Yes. I've been at YNR now for, my first air date was 11/11/11, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
So that is always hard. So it's been 14 years and change.
Was there much of a gap in between?
There was like 9 months between. Yeah. Yeah. And, that's been a great ride. I'm really grateful. It's been, it's more than anyone. It's just an incredible place to work. And this character has had so many iterations and been able to do many things and work with such great people. And, it's weird to think how like All My Children seem like such a big amount of time. 'Cause it was 4.5 years and now this has been 14.5 years. And, it's bananas to think that it's been. And then this summer will be my 20 years of soaps.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I'm not blowing smoke. You are so good. I've told you this before. She is Rob's favorite actor.
No, I know. I love her too.
Like whenever we have Emmy reels, he's like, call me when it's time to watch Mrs.
Oh, that's so kind. You guys. That's very sweet.
No, I mean, you are, because we're given these heightened realities and you find a way to ground everything that you do and bring such humanity and depth to all of your work and blah, blah, blah.
Thank you. That really means a lot coming from both of you.
One of my favorite Missy stories is shortly after I had left Young and Restless and I was working at Days. I'm not going to name names, but I had a coworker who stuck his tongue down my throat.
Where?
On set.
On Days?
Yes.
I didn't know if it was at Y&R.
No. I said, you listening? I said, shortly after I left Y&R.
Right. Okay.
I was fuming. I was so, taken aback in the moment and the show must go on. And I was like, do I stop production and make a thing out of this? Or do I just move on? So I moved on and you were the first person I called. And I was like, you're not going to believe this. We were on set. Talk about unprofessional. We're doing a scene. It was just supposed to be a peck. He sticks his tongue in my mouth, blah, blah, blah. I'm barking and I'm like, angry as can be. I stop talking, she pauses, and she goes, you still got it. And I'm like, not the answer I was looking for. I was like, how do I handle this inappropriate behavior? And you just wanted to remark on the fact that I was still somebody that people
still
wanted
got
to put
it.
Tongues in their mouths. Oh, do you remember that?
I don't. I mean, now I do. I couldn't remember.
It tracks.
It tracks.
And then you gave me some good advice on how to handle that situation.
Right. Yeah, you handled it well. I was so proud.
No, I didn't have to. Remember, the follow-up to that is, and this is still during the COVID of it all, I was like, all right, I'm going to confront and say that these are my boundaries and blah, blah, blah. And I woke up the morning of our next kissing scene and I had a cold sore. and so my body took care of it for me.
Cold sore for the win.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I love that. You're the best.
I know you. I mean, you are the best.
No, you guys are the best.
You are the best.
You are.
I know you have a family. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you want to do, though, besides, being Chelsea over at Young and
Restless? I always felt like this was a great gig. Mm-hmm. Always. And it really is. But, like, especially since becoming a mom. Yeah. I'm like, wow. I don't have to tell you guys. Like, it's 20 minutes from my house. We don't do night shoots. It's so fast. I mean, Tuesday I had a 6:30 call. I was done shooting. We started at 8:30. I was done by 10.
I know.
It's bananas. And some days are long and it's a lot of, the stress and pressure of all the dialogue. I always remind that to people. I'm like, it's fast, but it's like so fast and so much to learn at night. But I love it.
Yeah.
I love the people. I feel like I could ride this wave forever. There are storylines I'd like I'd love to have like an evil twin, but it's also like, I can't imagine having to memorize like double the dialogue. Yeah. What do you do? What does one do? Like the David Canary of it all. He's too good. I can't do that.
Yes,
wouldn't
you
that
could.
Be fun?
Yes, you yeah. could.
Wear a little wig.
Yes, you
have
could.
A little accent.
Yeah.
That would be, I'd be so
actually,
bad.
You could handle that.
I don't know. That would be like a nice challenge.
The accents but, scare me, but
yeah.
Like I was watching some of the work that Eileen had to do.
Mm,
Eileen played yes. five different characters oh, on Days of Our Lives.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's yeah,
yeah.
That's legend
it's,
right there.
It's yeah. Well, she is.
Yeah.
As are you.
Yeah, no,
you could do
very
it.
Kind.
You could do it.
Why don't you guys just make out right now?
We should.
Let's just
here.
With tongue.
I think with tongue.
This is a
I
tongue.
Got it.
You still got it.
Still got it.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. All right. We
so
should we do? Should we do the fan questions?
We have fan questions.
Oh, that's nice.
So fans write in. They have specific questions they want to know.
So, could you talk about your pairing with Jacob Young's JR on AMC?
Love Jacob. We, it's funny because he was such like a soap star when I started. I remember the first event I ever went to on my children was to see him in Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
And he was so great, but we didn't really work together for years. And then they put us together when I was with David Canary. I think I cheated on him with JR, which was his son, which was so good. Or was I, did I cheat with his nephew? I don't know. But yeah, there was something. And It became such a fun, popular pairing, and I loved it. He's so good. And they, like, hated each other. The characters, JR and Annie, like, hated each other. But then I saved him with my bone marrow, as one does. and then they, like, had this, like, attraction, but, like,
oh
hate, love, attraction. But then had an affair. And so it was, like, great soapy goodness. And he's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I miss seeing him because I would see him when he was on Bold, like, in the hallways. I loved that story. That was, like, a close second for one of my favorites. He's the best.
We'll get to a fan question, but
yeah.
Let's talk about, you had a really hard, challenging storyline on Young and the Restless mm-hmm. where Chelsea was attempting suicide.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will you talk a little bit about that?
Of course. I was honored to tell that story. It was a few years ago and Josh Griffith wanted to tell a story about mental health and our writers and they wrote it so well. And I was lucky just to be able to tell it where Chelsea was struggling with depression and anxiety. And she, she almost killed herself and Billy saves her on a roof. And they ran it by all of the medical professionals to make sure that it was written properly. And I've never gotten in almost 20 years, I've never gotten such a big fan reaction. It was so touching and so moving. And you could see how many people were hurting and people saying like, this was me 6 months ago, or this happened to my mom or my aunt or my brother or my uncle. Or some people were like, you know, I didn't know I was depressed until I saw this. I'm going to get help. Mm-hmm. Like it was just so touching
wow.
and moving. And just important, like, because
yeah.
usually we can be like, it's so fun entertaining and entertaining people is important, but I would never like, you know, we take it lightly. And I'm like, wow, like we're really helping people a lot too. And people
yeah.
can, if people can feel seen, we're actually doing like really important work on these shows. And
yeah.
that really like meant so much to me. So I was honored to be able to tell that story. It was a true honor.
Yeah. And you were fantastic in that.
Thank you.
But also I think to that point, it's like we earn their trust over
right.
years and years and years of playing
yes.
these characters, of being in their homes.
Yes.
And then when you do sort of then say, hey, we're going to do something a little more than just entertain you the next couple of months.
Yeah.
We have them.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
exactly right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you asked about her pairing with Jacob. We covered the transition. This was a fan question, but we covered
yeah.
the transition from Annie going from like
yes,
boring
girl
to
girl.
Yeah,
queen.
Yeah. I love that you can now say boring. You're like trying to like you're like Annie was more simple.
you
can say boring. Oops.
When you debuted your new short, Bob.
Oh.
You said 2025 was the year of the snake.
Yep.
Time to shed. What personal belief, fear, or habit did you shed with that haircut?
Excuse me, Oprah. That's a good question. You know, I just felt like it had been a stressful year with the fires. I felt like just cutting off my hair. It had gotten really long. And I literally felt like shedding. And then after I thought of the word shedding, I read that it had been the year of the snake. And I was like, it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So I physically shed that. And then I just felt like last year was like, it was a lot for everybody. You know,
yeah.
it started the year off with the house burning down and stuff just felt heavy. And I was just excited for a new year, a new do. Just, you know, a year of the horse.
Yeah.
I guess it's like a 1 year. I'm into all the astrology.
Wait, isn't it,
isn't
it the year of the horse now?
Yeah, year of the
yes.
horse now. And it's like, I guess last year was a nine and this is like a year one where it's all about like planting new seeds and getting momentum and just felt cleansed. And then the hair was just vain. Vanity. I just didn't want the long hair anymore. And I also, with little kids, it was taking too long to wash it, to be honest with you. And I was like, I need it to take less time at work to do. I need to take less time in the shower. And so that's what my...
It's all about time management. However efficient you can be. Again, I think it's why we've all talked around why we love working in this genre. It's like, we get there, you do the work, you leave. And it's sort of like... And it's that. It's like, how do I make my life as efficient as I can?
Right. Like, do you guys feel like in an emotional scene, you could do it like 10 times? I don't know if I could.
I don't think so.
Like, oh, you mean like when doing a movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. It's interesting you say that because I think that people that shoot and can do like 20 takes and make it fresh every single time.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa.
I know.
Then again, but if we had a movie actor here having this conversation with us, they would be amazed at what the skills that we have.
You can do it in one and done.
And I think if we were working in films, we would hone that skill of being able to do it take after take.
Although who was here that was talking about when they were doing movies because they did soaps.
Yeah.
They were, was it Jack A? They were able to like tap into that and do it over and over.
We had the privilege of having Renee Lee Scoldsberry on the show.
Oh.
And was it when she was talking about learning the lines for Satisfied?
I don't know.
And how she was able to memorize all that so quickly because of her time.
That was memorization. This was like doing something over and over again.
Wrong, Greg. You know what? I love you too.
Myself out.
I mean, I'm so happy you're doing this podcast. It's like because your tweets, the tweet fights gave me like life. And I love that now it's like in person. You brought it to life and it just brings me such joy. It's like a lightning in a bottle and it's.
Oh my God. Honestly, you're like a wind up doll. And I just want to sit here and be like, okay.
I said the interview is going to be 3 minutes because no one talks as fast as you.
No.
Oh, sorry. I know.
No. Are you kidding?
It's a thing, though.
Well, the problem is when I'm around you, I talk fast, but then I talk faster.
Right. I know.
Do you listen to podcasts? I put them at like 1.25. Or 1.5.
Right.
I'm going to be listening to this one. I'll be like, did I speed this one up?
You're like, can you slow it down? It's me. It's always been my thing. Yeah. And that is a note that I need to work on a lot at work because I'm like always consciously trying to like remember to slow down.
Me too.
It's a thing. It's a little actor note I have to give myself.
And when I work with Jackie, who plays my daughter, Steffi, on the show, she talks fast.
You always get these people.
We will both just start talking like so fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think that I like a good clip. You know what I mean? I think I always look, I don't know if you guys do this. If I'm ever like page one, if I'm the character that if my scene starts the show, I'm like, I got to come in hot.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
You want to get people right off the,
rather
than.
Totally. Yeah. Or if you're like the cliffhanger on a Friday, you got to punch it up a little
bit.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
One I have another fan question.
Amazing. Go. I was just going to say, how has motherhood changed you?
Well, that was my fan question.
Oh, it is?
How has it changed you?
Yeah.
And then do you feel like it's changed Chelsea or the way in which you perform?
That's a good question. Chelsea, I've always played on these soaps people that were moms, like way before I was a mom. Like when I started, I was 24 on All My Children, very far away from being a mom, but I had Emma. So I always, and then I had Connor on this show. I had Johnny on this show, but I gave him up for adoption. So I always was a mom when I did all these soaps. So I think I maybe play it differently. That maybe I'm like, now that you're actually a mom, it's a different experience to like know what your son is going through. Like, you know, after the mental health storyline, they did a storyline a year later where my son was suffering from OCD and depression and cutting himself. And so that's like so crushing. And I would think I'd hopefully do a good job on that. But like thinking of my own child suffering like that, obviously there's nothing worse than your child in pain. So I feel like maybe it's made me a better actor. And motherhood in general, how's it changed me? I mean, it's the best. I've never been more tired, but I've never been happier. And these boys are so delicious and divine. And
they're beautiful.
I think it's thank you. My home has become like a prison yard. everything's fine. And then someone like gets shanked and you're like, what? why did you do that? Everybody's fine. But they're so also so loving. And when they're not kicking each other's ass, they're so loving and they are. And it's just changing for the better. You know, I've never been more grateful for these little angels and they're awesome. And And yeah, I'm just grateful for these little babies.
So that, sweet.
Well, yeah. You are the greatest. You have a beautiful family.
You are the greatest.
And,
I'm so happy to be here. I could do this so all day with you guys.
Do you want to start performing now?
Yeah. And how to be you.
Take us out, Missy. All right.
Yeah, take us out, Missy.
You can watch.
Got a dance.
One singular sensation.
Can take us out. You are just divine.
Not too much.
You can watch her and all of her brilliance on The Young and the Restless weekdays on CBS.
Yes.
And you can stream it on Paramount Plus. And you can watch this episode and any other episodes of Soapy that you may have missed on the CBS YouTube channel. And you can listen to us on wherever you get your podcasts. When you listen to this one, slow it down a tad.
Slow it down.
And we'll see you guys next time.